A Biblical Approach to Personal Suffering by Walter Kaiser, Jr. Wippenstock, 1982, 141 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Summary. Introduction. The Book of Lamentations is an exemplary treatment of the problem of personal agony and communal suffering. Nothing that we say can take all the pain out of suffering. And the Bible is clear that suffering and pain are very real in this world. The most comforting news Scripture has for the sufferer is that where pain, grief, and hurt are, there is God. Lamentations shows us that grief should be expressed to God, and grief is also poured out in community rather than in complete isolation. It consists of acrostic poems, and the literary structure of the acrostic prevents people from speeding through the material or glossing over it. In this way, the literary medium is part of the message. Grief, suffering, and pain cannot be abbreviated. We need to give them proper time, and we cannot shortcut the process of working through them. However, there is also a time to move on and growth, so that grief is not the final word that dominates all our experience. The historical context of Lamentations is the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. This event consisted of real, sound, smells, sights, and individual people, and its horror cannot be exaggerated. Nonetheless, locating the pain in its historical context is necessary for proper perspective. It is a finite event and is surrounded by other historical events and realities. The internal structure of Lamentations clearly points to the third chapter as the book's crescendo, where the prophet reflects on the faithfulness and love of God that gives hope even in the darkest times. In this pivotal chapter, verses 22 through 24 are the focal point. These verses can be translated, "It is proof of the gracious love of the Lord that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my inheritance, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." The final chapter of Lamentations is a prayer to God, making petitions in hope for the future. Jeremiah has traditionally been seen as the author of Lamentations, and despite objections some scholars have made at this point, we conclude that Jeremiah was the author of each poem in the book. His pain came from seeing the complete destruction of the city and the temple, coupled with the widespread violence, death, and exile. Lamentations deals with calamity on a national scale, whereas Job focuses on individual suffering. It wrestles with questions of God's activity, control, love, and care in a world filled with pain and destruction. God's anger and wrath cannot be ignored. But even in their outpouring, there is love for his people. His actions are tied to his covenant bonds. His wrath is personal. Even in the midst of wrath, God's love and faithfulness were new every morning. This is the foundation for hope. There's much that we still do not understand about Hebrew poetic poems, but the meter and style in Lamentations creates a limping, unfinished feel for the reader that accentuates the heavy-heartedness of the content. For Christians, Lamentations can help orient us in our pain, help us organize our approach to God, and focus us on God's love and faithfulness. Chapter 1. Coping with Grief. The first poem in Lamentations repeats its theme 5 times. There is no one to comfort. Verses 2, 9, 16, 17, and 21. Jerusalem is personified as an abandoned woman who is without comfort and has no resting place. Far from being stoic, this poem shows us that we can grieve, mourn, and pour our pain out to God. The poem begins with the third person, but as it develops, it turns to the first person, making the poem and experience more deeply personal. At the beginning, the poet is talking about Jerusalem. But in the end, Jerusalem speaks for herself. The beginning is a bitter complaint, but the end shifts to a confession of sin and acknowledgement that the Lord has always been in the right. The repetition of the lack of comfort provides the tone, but chapter 1, verse 18 is the focal point of the poem. It declares that the Lord is in the right because his people rebelled against his word. No matter how great the suffering or heavy the judgment, God always acts with justice and righteousness. He never sins, errs, or does anything wrong. If his people had been obedient, they would never have experienced this judgment. Lamentations chapter 1 teaches us about coping with grief. It vividly sets out the loneliness that Jerusalem experiences in her pain, as she is cut off from the comfort of friends and God. In her isolation, she remembers better times, but these times are no more. She is utterly helpless. This situation has come about because of her sin, which has shamed and desecrated her. Her punishment is severe, but it is an act of mercy to break her yoke of sin and to eventually turn her back to her covenant Lord. Reflecting on God's purposes amid her pain and suffering allows her to acknowledge that God is right, and it is to him that our pleas must be directed. Petitions needed be offered for forgiveness and restoration. Chapter 2. Taking Suffering Personally. The Book of Lamentations helps people work through suffering by squarely facing up to the anger of God, and Lamentations chapter 2 provides a detailed treatment of this subject. It is essential that we understand that suffering does not occur because of blind and personal chance. Suffering is profoundly personal, and when we are suffering for our sins, it is our personal relationship with God that is central. We err when we think of God's anger in accordance with the features of fallen, sinful human anger. God's anger is always righteous, and it flows out of his love of what's good. To truly love the good, one must hate evil. God is patient, giving people time to repent. But he is not indifferent or apathetic. If God did not care about his people, he would not have called them to repentance and restoration. The name of Yahweh is used 40 times in the first 10 verses, so Yahweh is the key subject of this poem. The focal point is found in chapter 2, verse 17, which asserts that Jerusalem's enemies have triumphed over them only because of the fulfillment of the plan and word of the Lord. It was the sin of the people that led to their downfall, but their defeat and punishment was decreed by God rather than accidental. Since Yahweh is the one who sent this judgment, it is he to whom the people must turn. Their suffering in this judgment cannot be considered in an abstract and personal way. They must personally reckon with the person of Yahweh. Their former glory came from the Lord, and the Lord took it away. Babylon is the instrument of God's purposes, but the judgment, ultimately, came from the Lord. All of the promise and hope that was bound up with the temple was a gift from God, and he destroyed the gift because of their evil. Jeremiah reacted to these things with deep personal sorrow, weeping and mourning for the people and city of Jerusalem. He felt the weight of their suffering and felt the sting of the mocking of their personal enemies. As a result, Jeremiah called on the people to pray to God, pouring out to the Lord the laments and petitions of their hearts. In the face of their suffering, they were to beseech God to put an end to their pain and punishment. Chapter 3. Finding Hope in the Face of Adversity. Lamentations chapter 3 is distinctive, both in form and content, from all the other chapters in the book. It holds the middle position and functions as the culmination and central affirmation of the whole book. The length and literary artistry of chapter 3 is the book's greatest, and its content is unparalleled. Its central affirmation and focal point are found in verses 22 through 24. Despite their suffering, the fact that the people were not fully consumed is proof of God's chesed. Dealing with their sin, but giving them a future, was a gift of love, grace, and compassion. It is in the darkest, bleakest times that the chesed of God can shine the brightest. In the face of their sin and rebellion, and during horrendous suffering, the prophet could proclaim the incredible hope that great is thy faithfulness. Since these verses represent the focal point of this poem, and this poem is the central point of the book. This affirmation of God's gracious love and faithfulness is the ground for their hope and the key part of the message of Lamentations. It is this reality that allows us to find hope in the face of adversity. In preaching or teaching this section, we can highlight in chapter 1, verses 1 through 24, that the Lord's mercy and love are never ending. Verses 25 through 39 shows that the Lord's goodness and control of our lives is reassuring. Verses 40 through 66 provide us with the encouragement that the Lord is a forgiving God who listens to our prayers. It is in the midst of suffering and pain that we can find our hope in the unending love and mercy of God. Through poignant grief, mockery, darkness, and bondage, the poem moves to hope in the Lord's hesed. It is in His grace and love that God rescues the captive and brings light into the darkness. Even in our deepest pain, we can say with verse 24, "The Lord is my portion." If Jeremiah could find this hope in God's love and grace in the midst of suffering and the fall of Jerusalem, we are called to orient ourselves to God's love and mercy in our suffering too. There is no wrong that is ever done on earth that falls outside of God's control, and His love and faithfulness allow us to trust Him no matter what we experience. If the people persist in sin, they will be punished, but God is a forgiving God, and they can repent and turn to Him. When their sin brought enemies that threatened their survival, their only hope was found in the Lord. Chapter 4. Putting a Name to Pain. Having reached the climax of the book in chapter 3, the fourth chapter displays a marked decrease in emotional intensity. Nevertheless, the process of walking through grief is not yet complete, and this poem provides images and vocabulary which can help us understand our pain and identify our fears. We have a need for comfort and love now, but we must also understand what brought us to this point. The first part of the poem names the sufferings the people endured. The second part identifies the causes. And the third section ends with an expression of hope and joy. The focal point is chapter 4, verse 13, which identifies the cause of the destruction as the sins of the priests and prophets. In naming and understanding our pain, we need to take an honest look at what it is costing us. For Israel, this meant that their sin caused them to experience the covenant curses of God for disobedience and unfaithfulness. The costs were great, and the cause was their rebellion and wickedness. More precisely, the sins of the religious leadership led the people into evil and precipitated the judgment. Rather than trusting in the Lord, they trusted in political alliances and the strength of men. The causes of their suffering were exposed, but they were still given light and hope because of the Lord. In light of His covenant love and faithfulness, judgment was not the last word. With their sin punished, there was hope for the future in God's grace. Chapter 5. Remembering that God still reigns. Lamentations chapter 5 is a final prayer that completes the book. Working through our grief and suffering is only complete when we prayerfully commit it to God. This prayer begins with an introduction and cry for help, and it ends with a vow of praise. Verse 19 is the focal point, celebrating Yahweh's everlasting rule and reign. Everything changes, but God is immutable. Even when Jerusalem is destroyed and the temple burned down, God is enthroned. In the opening section of this prayer, Jeremiah calls for God's attention to their plight and pitiful condition. With God reigning as the sovereign Lord over the universe, couldn't their concern be rectified and their turmoil ended? Everyone in the nation was suffering. Every kind of individual had experienced terrible trauma. The suffering was national, but it was also experienced in concrete forms by individual people. As a result, every individual had their own deep personal feelings to work through. Given the affirmation that the Lord reigns, the prophet asked God questions. Will He forget or reject them forever? Their great need and plea was for God to restore them to himself so that they could be restored and saved. What they needed was repentance, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord in faith. In the end, their hope was in the Lord's love, grace, and faithfulness. He was a just and holy God who punished sins, but he would not reject his people forever. Conclusion: Suffering in the Old Testament. The Old Testament provides us with a deep exploration of the religious problem of suffering. God is grieved when we experience grief due to our sin. God loves his people and is not remote from their suffering. As profound as Lamentations is, we need to remember that it is not the fullness of God's revelation, nor does it contain all of God's revelation on this topic. Lamentation focuses on retributive suffering, but the Old Testament identifies 8 basic types of suffering. Scripture is very clear that retributive suffering and punishment is real. But not every type of suffering and pain is a direct punishment that falls on an individual for their own personal sin. In addition to retributive punishment, Scripture teaches that God can bring suffering into our lives so that we can be disciplined and grow. Suffering can be used to educate us and help us to learn wisdom. There's also vicarious suffering, like that experienced by the suffering servant in Isaiah. Empathetic suffering occurs when we experience pain, when we see the pain that others are enduring. In God's relationship with his people, he experiences this kind of empathetic pain in response to his people's pain. Suffering can also be doxological, where God's people learn to praise and worship him through their experience of trials. Job and Habakkuk suffered in a way that allowed them to provide testimony and witness to the faithfulness of God, no matter the depths of their sorrow. Scripture also indicates that there will be an intense period of eschatological suffering before the end of this era of redemptive history. It is imperative that we recognize there are different types of suffering so that we do not ascribe identical explanations in every case. In the end, let us humbly bow before the Lord our Maker and recognize his infinite wisdom, trusting him to achieve his good purposes and trusting his reasons for the presence of suffering in this world and in our lives as individuals. Copyright 2025, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only and, except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.